Amen.
Amen.
All right, our reading is taken from Matthew chapter number 1, starting at verse number 18. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his child, as his wife. He took her as his wife, excuse me, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus." Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. If you want to hold him by the hand, that's all right. We got hand sanitizer. Turn to your neighbor, look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, God is telling you, I'm trusting you. Neighbor, God is telling you, I'm trusting you." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I'm Trusting You." Young people, y'all have friends that ain't your friends no more because you couldn't trust them. And because of that, I know it caused you now to be leery about how everybody wants to be your friend. Because of the fact that when you trust folk, you have a certain expectation. And the reason why we have trust issues is because of the fact that when we've allowed some folk in, they made a mess. When we allowed some folk in, they lied on us, stabbed us in the back. When we let some folk in, they went out there and told everybody all about us. And because of that, it has put us in a situation that right now, some of us have trust issues. Sometimes it's women having issues trusting men. Men having issues trusting women. Married women trusting single women. Married men trusting single brothers. Come on now, work with me. Because of the fact that when we look at what has happened, child, now that you're mad, don't you dare have no single friends come around your husband. Bruh, now that you got that wife, now you better keep your single friends and have, tell them to go somewhere else. Come on now, somebody know what I'm talking about. But we see that trust issues are all around us. We've gotten so bad with it that we've put ourselves in such isolation that we ain't trusting nobody. But I want to flip the script on you. When you look at what we've done in reference to God, when you look at how we have been displeasing God, how we've allowed sin to dominate our lives, and how we made the narrative more about self and not including God at all. Well, when we want folk to put us under the spotlight because we think we all got a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. But in all reality, you would think that when God looks at us, he says, there's no way in the world I can trust them. But the one thing that is amazing is in all of our imperfections and in all that we've done wrong, the Father still sent Jesus because he wants to let you know I'm trusting you. And when you look here at this story, and we're going to talk about this from the perspective of trust, because when we see this, what is happening, y'all, because we talked about it 2 weeks ago about can you believe the impossible? Because of the fact that when Mary was told by the angel that she was blessed and highly favored by God, and that she would be the mother of the Christ child, that she would carry him, and she said, how can this be? I have not been with a man. He said, the Holy Spirit, he said, God will overshadow you, and the Holy Spirit shall impregnate you. Which means is that she had to embrace the impossible. But at this time, she was betrothed to Joseph. And at that time, when you were betrothed to someone, in actuality, you are now legally married, even though you haven't consummated the marriage. You're legally married. But until you have the other ceremony, if Joseph wanted to not marry Mary, or Mary not want Joseph, they would have to actually create a form of divorce. So that's telling you that what they've already agreed to is bonding. So when God sent the angel to tell Mary what was going to happen, it was now could possibly put Mary into a pickle because she was already betrothed to someone whose name was Joseph. But when Mary heard what the angel told her that came from God, she said, Lord, let thy will be done. You see, but whatever was going to happen with Mary was going to have some impact to Joseph over here. And once Joseph got word of what had happened to Mary, how was he going to deal with that? Are you working with me? And what we're seeing here right now is now Mary is letting Joseph know, Dingin' Boo, I'm pregnant and I've been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And once Joseph hears that, I want you to understand something, Deacon Wiley, he ain't buying it. He ain't believing it. Because of the fact that he also knows and looked all through the Old Testament, there is not one scripture in the Old Testament where someone was a virgin and got impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they were talking about it, but it ain't happened. And since it ain't happened, guess what? It ain't happened just now. David, he struggled with this. He did not want to embrace this. But I want you to see something about the character. Hear this clearly. Hurting people want to hurt others. But people who have been hurt aren't trying to hurt other folk. You see, what we're seeing here is the character of a man who has been hurt, but wasn't about hurting others. Because he could have very easily threw Mary under the bus, told it publicly that, you know what, she's my betrothed and she's pregnant and I ain't touch her. And immediately the folk would have stoned her for committing the act of adultery. But he was hurt, but he wasn't going to hurt somebody else. So he made it his business just to quietly expose of her, you know, dissolve the marriage, get the divorce, and told her, girl, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but I can't marry you. There's going to be a divorce between you and I. And at this point, and as he left, I could see Mary saying, Lord, I didn't ask for this. You gave this to me. And since you gave it to me, I know you know it was going to impact him. So, Lord, what are you going to do now? You see, Lord, I believe the impossible. So now how are you going to fix what I consider right now to be an impossible situation? You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you start out believing God in the impossible, there's always going to be something that's going to come along and try to shake you. There's always going to be something that's going to get you to try to second guess you believing the impossible. But what I'm here to tell you, if you start out believing the impossible, don't you dare turn back, because God is just saying, this is just another test. Because if you believe me and you've come this far with me by faith, don't worry about what anybody's going to say. Don't worry about what nobody's going to do. You just keep on walking by faith. You keep on trusting in me. I didn't bring you this far just to drop you off now. I'm going to take you all the way. Anybody in here believe in God on the impossible? And in believing God in the impossible, there have been some bumps in the road. There have been some potholes you had to step over. There's some stuff you had to deal with, but that's all right, because I'm going to still say hallelujah anyhow, because I serve a mighty good God. He is blessing me right now. He blessed me on yesterday. He's blessing me on today. And if he allow me to see tomorrow, I believe he's going to bless me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who recognize and realize that when you start off believing the impossible, don't you dare turn back, but let's go on. What we got to see and understand and realize as we move forward, it's not about us, it's about God. And as long as we keep it about God, God gonna take care of it all. So Mary, just, I can see her with tears in her eyes and say, God, you got it, but that's all right. And Joseph goes on home. I know he's talking to himself right now. I know he's frustrated. But you know the one thing I know? He loves Mary. You know how I know he loves Mary? Because he didn't throw Mary under the bus. Pris, he loved her. She hurt him. In his mind, she hurt him. But he wasn't going to hurt her. You see, you can be hurt and not hurt other folk. It's hurting people that wants to hurt other folk. You see, when we're not able to deal with our own hurts, we want to hurt others the way we're hurting. But all of us in our lives have been hurt. Somebody can say amen. Now, the thing is, how do you do after you've been hurt? Do you go out and want to kick other folk like you've been kicked? Or do you find a way to help somebody else heal rather than hurt other folk? You see, and the reason why God, this situation shows us why God chose Joseph to be his earthly father. You see, because the character of the man would not allow him to lower himself to do something which truly wouldn't be pleasing in the sight of God. He knew that he serves a God who was about life and not a God about death. So he wasn't going to do anything that was going to bring death upon this young lady, but allow her to still have life. Because guess what? The same God that loves him is the same God that loves her. Even though I think she's done something that's hurt me, I'm not going to do anything that's going to try to tear her down. Because you know what? Because one day I'm going to have to go before God. And when I go before God, what am I going to say? So we're seeing the character of the man who was going to be Jesus' earthly father, who was going to teach Jesus about how it's not about how you hurt others, it's how you heal others. You see, and yes, we know that he's the Son of God. And yes, he knew all this, but just having that earthly father to continue to reinforce what he's already known. And to let him know that he has been chosen for this task. And when that brother finally goes to sleep, you see, God couldn't talk to him while he was awake because too many things were running through his mind. Too many things was going on. He was trying to figure it out, trying to understand. But God couldn't talk to him until he was able to get him to get quiet. And then when he got quiet is when he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, now God can enter. Because God used his time of sleep, the time when he's to recharge his body, the time when he is getting rejuvenated and getting rest and getting ready for the next day, that's when God decided to talk to him. Because at this point, he doesn't have the distractions going on because he's now asleep. And while he sleep, God speaks to him in a dream. He sends the angel to him to make him aware that what Mary told you wasn't a lie. Mary told you the truth. Because yes, she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're going to take her to be your wife. And because I have chosen you, and this is what you're going to do. So you ain't got nothing to be afraid of, because when you have put your trust in me, guess what? I got you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know when you put your trust in God, God's got you? Do I got anybody in here who understands that God's got you? I know it gets rough sometimes, but God's got you. I know you're going to go through some storms, but God's got you. I know they're going to talk about you, but God's got you. I know the money might get funny sometimes, but God got you. I know you might get sick here and there, but God's got you. I know you might have some family problems, but God's got you. I know sometimes your employment issues happen, but God's got you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know that God's got you, no matter what goes on around you, I know I'm going to be all right. Do I got anybody in here who knows that God is blessing him? Do I got anybody in here who knows that God is the one who is seeing you through? I know it ain't easy, but God is making a way out of no way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? If you know God's got you, turn to three folks and give them a high five and say, I know he got me. You see, what is occurring here, my brothers and sisters, is that God is letting Joseph know, I got you. And everything is going to be all right. And don't y'all know what happened when Joseph woke up? When Joseph woke up, his mind was refreshed. His heart was refreshed. His mind was changed. And his heart was in the right place. And when he got up, I could see Brother Meg running over to Mary's house. And he goes over and hugs Mary and says to Mary, everything is all right, baby. And him saying those simple words to Mary. Don't you know that both of them began to rejoice right then and there? I can see Mary's parents wondering, what in the world is going on? What are they doing? Why are they rejoicing God right now? Because of the fact that they realize they are now in agreement and that God is telling them, I'm trusting you. They realized that God was trusting them. What was God trusting them with? His precious gift. The one who was going to be the savior of the world. The one who is going to take away the sin that has been beating us down. You see, that's the precious gift that God was entrusting Mary and Joseph to watch over, to nurture, to take care of. Mary was to take care of her body while that baby was going through the ingestation process of 9 months in her. And Joseph had the responsibility of watching over his wife and keeping her safe. And then once the child was born, his job was to protect them and to watch over them and to keep them safe. You see what God was saying to them? I'm trusting you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, well, I'm trusting you with a precious gift. The precious gift that came to heal and deliver the whole world. The precious gift that came to give you and I life eternal. The precious gift that came to make a way out of no way. The precious gift to let us know that you are somebody. The precious gift that will stick closer to you than any brother. The precious gift who was a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. The precious gift that would allow us to be able to do all that we could do. The precious gift that will be there with us in the midst of the storm. The precious gift that will let you and I know that our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. I thank God for the precious gift, because if that precious gift didn't come, where would you and I be right now? And that precious gift came because God said to Mary and Joseph, I'm trusting you. They've been trusted to do what was necessary for the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, to be reared to the point until he begins his public ministry. And you see, the thing which is interesting is I can see Mary and Joseph praising God, thanking God, giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise that God thought enough of us, little old us, from Nazareth, to be responsible, to be trusted with the Christ child. That in itself caused them both to rejoice, because God sees something in them that they couldn't see in themselves. God saw potential in them that they couldn't see in themselves. God saw purpose in them that they couldn't see in themselves. I want you to know that's what he saw over 2,000 years ago in them. He's still seeing the same thing in us. He sees our potential in us. He wants us to move in our purpose. My brothers and my sisters, God is saying to you, I'm trusting you. Now the question that you and I have to answer, what are we doing with what God has trusted us with? Because I want you to know that some of us still are pinching ourselves, that God is still trusting us. But Reverend Flippin, how can he trust me? Because after I told him I would do his will, I fell short. I made some mistakes. Sin went out. So I guess I might as well give up right now, because I know God ain't going to trust me again. But what I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, God ain't stopped trusting you. He know that you would make some mistakes. That's why he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. Don't you allow a sin of yesterday to stop you from trusting God today. Because God has put some stuff in you that he's trusted you with. He has not changed his mind about you, but you have changed your mind about God. All because you made a mistake. And you felt that, you know, other folk who said they trusted you, and when you made a mistake, they dropped you like a hot potato. They dropped you like an old left shoe. They dropped you like an iPhone 4. Had to bring it up to the millennials. Because ain't no millennial in here got no iPhone 4. I had one way too long. I finally got transitioned a year ago. But you understand what I'm saying? Dropped it. So they felt that since other folk dropped them, you figure that God is going to drop you. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, our God has not given up on you. Our God has not thrown you away. Our God has not changed his mind about you. Our God is saying to you, I've trusted you. I've given it to you. Now I want you to use what I've given you to use. And are you going to take what I've trusted you with? And are you going to use it for my glory and to my honor? Because you understand that you would have never had this chance unless God trusted you. That's how come whenever we come up in God's house, we don't ever sit here and be quiet. We come here thanking and praising God because God made a decision to trust us when we didn't think we was trustworthy. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understands how good our God is, how our God has put his trust in us when we thought we weren't worth trusting? Nobody else trusted me. Nobody else believed in me. But I'm here to tell you, God trusts you, and he has not changed his mind. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time for you to change your mind. God ain't changed his mind, y'all. He started out trusting you. He understands you're going to hit a bump along the way, but he ain't give up on you. And I want you to understand, when you start off trusting God and doing what God has entrusted you to do, Mary and Joseph, we're going to hear more about this next week, but Mary and Joseph, you remember when she was in her 9th month of pregnancy, about ready to start the nesting process on where the baby was going to be born and what room and what area? Don't you know that's when we see that Caesar sent out the decree and the governor sent out and told everybody to go to their lands for the taxation to be counted. And don't you know they had to travel a long way? You would think that, God, if you have given us this, why are you going to make us move right now? All God wants to know, will you still believe the impossible? You see, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes God's got to have us hit a bump in the road. Sometimes we got to deal with this and deal with that. But through it all, we're going to stay still, say hallelujah anyhow, because I know that God has trusted me, and I'm going to keep my trust in God. And the only way I keep my trust in God is I got to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, because God has entrusted me with what he has given me, and he wants me to utilize it to the utmost. But let me help you. Jesus gave us a parable where he said there was a master who gave 3 of his servants talents. He gave one slave 5 talents. He gave another slave 2 talents. He gave another slave or servant 1 talent. Because God gives us according to his grace. He gives us what we're capable of handling at that moment. And what he gave them, was letting them know, this is what I'm going to trust you with. So in essence, God has given every last one of us in here some talents. And he gave everybody in here at least one talent. Yeah. But now that God has trusted you with it, if he gave you five, will you make 10? If he gave you two, will you make 4? If he gave you one, what you going to do with it? Some folk might say, well, he ain't gave me but one. I can't do nothing with just one. So since I can't do nothing with it, since he gave me one talent, I can't do nothing with it. So I'm going to just put it in my. I'm here to tell you something. God wants to know, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you to take what I've given you, and I want you to increase what I've given you. If you want to see how God can bless you, if you want to see God do the impossible in your life, go on and take that what you have and do the impossible with it and watch and see how God is going to bless it. We can't find out how much we can do until we step out with what we got. God is telling all of us in here, he's blessed us and anointed us with the potential in order for us to be victorious, in order for us to be prosperous. What does that mean? To succeed. God didn't call none of us in here to fail. God called us all because he gave us all the what? Victory. And we got to start walking in our victory, talking in our victory, living in our victory, because God didn't come for us to fail. He came so that we would have the victory. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God is entrusting you. He's entrusting me. So what you going to do with what God has trusted you with? Will you just hold on to it? Or will you say, Lord, I tried it, but I messed up. And now that you messed up, I can't do nothing else with it. That's a lie straight from hell. I'm here to tell you, God wants you to keep on doing what he has called you to do. Don't worry about the mistake of yesterday. Anybody in here mistake free? Raise your hand. Ain't nobody raise their hand, David? Me neither. So what is that telling us? God is still trusting us in spite of us. God ain't called us to be perfect. God called us to be the best that we can be. And as we're being the best that we can be, we are getting better each and every day, because we're relying less on self and more on the Lord. And because the Lord has anointed and appointed us with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is inside of us to help us to do right, be right, and go right. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God wants us to do the right thing. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And I want you to understand, when we do the right thing, what we're saying to God is, God, I am trusting you. And whatever you're calling me to do, I'm going to do it to the utmost. I don't care who talk about me. I don't care who whisper about me. I don't care who suck their teeth about me. I don't care who roll their eyes at me. I'm going to still do the right thing, because I know God has been better to me than I've been to myself. I know he's going to make a way for me. I know he's going to bless me. Do I got anybody in God's house who fully understands how far God has brought you, because you made the decision to put your trust in him, because you realize God has trusted you with what he has given you? Now, what are you going to do with what he's given you? What are you going to do with it? Broad Rock, when God gave this to me, it blew me away. Because in order for us to get that groundbreaking over there, we got to take what God has trusted us with and utilize it to the utmost. Yep. Now, somebody already in their mind, talking, oh, he's talking about money. It ain't just money. It's about you being the best you can be in order to glorify God. You see, the problem with some folk in church is that they ain't doing because they don't like the preacher. They ain't doing because they don't like this or that. They ain't doing because they don't agree with the decision the church made to do this or that. But guess what? When you go before God, when God asks you what you do, well, Lord, I would have did it, but what? You know, I ain't like that big head dude preaching up in there. You know, I ain't like the decision they made to do this or that. Really? So that's a reason for you not to do what I called you to do. Were you giving to them, or were you giving to me? Are you serving them, or are you serving me? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I couldn't be the pastor that I am if I start thinking about how folk feel about me. Come on now, can I work with you? I'm being transparent right now. I couldn't stand up and preach every Sunday if I listen to what everybody say that such and such said about me. You see, I'm not here because of you.
I'm here because of God. And I got to let God use me to the utmost. I got to see past your fault because God saw past my fault. And God's going to heal and deliver all of us. So I got to put myself in a position to where I'm saying, God, I trust you. And you've trusted me with these gifts. I got to use them in order to glorify you. So what's holding you back? Whatever it is, it's an excuse. God doesn't want you to let anything get in the way from you praising him, worshiping him, being a servant to him. We can always find something wrong with somebody. Hallelujah. There you go. We can always find something. We got to get past that. God wants us to knock down the walls so that we can be the church God wants us to be. We are not, you know, it's amazing. Folk came and said, well, such and such is sick in the hospital. I ain't going to see them. I'm the pastor. I ain't going to see them because they said this about me. Really? Really? Such and such is dealing with this. Well, I ain't going to pray for them because they were talking about me. Talking about my children, my wife. Really? Are you that small-minded, Kevin, that you're going to let that stuff get in your way? Because if it's getting in your way, you'll never see the full potential of what I can do in you. You'll never see the impossibilities, Kevin, if you allow stuff like that to get in your way. You'll never be able to see how far I can take you, Kevin, if you allow all this stuff to get in the way of what I'm calling you to do. That ain't nothing but a whole bunch of noise. My brothers and my sisters, we got to stop listening to the noise and listen to the anointing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the word and let God take us forward. All the other stuff is just. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Get rid of the noise. Listen to what God is saying to you. Listen to what God wants to do in you and through you. You see, because God is saying, I'm trusting you. Now, what are you doing with what I'm trusting you with? Because if you're letting the noise get in your way, it'll always be in your way. And you'll never be where I want you to be. Because you're always saying, well, what they saying now? What's going on there? It's all noise. It's all about all of us listening to the one who took us about the miry clay. Listening to the one who cleansed us and made us white as snow. Listening to the one who took us from a nobody to a somebody. Listening to the one who turned our lives around. Listening to the one who blessed us beyond our own imagination. You know what I'm talking about? Because some of y'all, well, how many country folk I got up in here? How many folk grew up in the country? How many grew up with the wood burning stove? How many grew up gotten to go get water out the well? How many folk grew up having to go out to the outhouse? How many folk understand that I was so glad that now, guess what? Y'all get agitated when you go into your master bathroom, turn the shower water on, and it take more than a minute for it to get hot. Think about it. That water taking a long time. You see what God has brought you from? You see what God has done in you? You see, God blessed us sometimes in spite of us. But now God says, I'm trusting you. And I need you to do something with what I'm giving you. Because it's not just about you. It's about the ministry. Getting the ministry to grow. Getting folks to have lives changed. There are so many folk here in Richmond that need Jesus. And as this ministry grows, we're going to touch folk here in Richmond so that they can know that they can have Jesus. And we ain't going to just stop in the city. We're going to go to the state. We're going to go through the country. And we're going to go to the world. Because I want you to know that what we got, y'all, is called good news. And wherever we take the good news, it brings upon change. How do we know that? Because didn't that good news change us? Didn't that good news shape us? Didn't that good news heal us? Didn't that good news deliver us? I'm telling you, God is saying, I'm trusting.